Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
It's raining outside.
Yeah, it is very, very rainy here on a Tuesday. It is going to be like this, I think, all day and maybe much of this week, maybe?
Dumb opening line from me there.
I want to check. Is it going to be like that all of this week or most of this
week? No, it's just today.
Just today.
It is really just today. And I'm perfectly fine with that because then we get some of that good fall feeling weather.
I was going to say, looking ahead now, it actually feels like October finally arrived.
Yes.
It took to the 7th, but it arrived.
It took a week.
Yeah.
It legitimately took a week. And you know what? Fine.
Not
summer
bad.
Always does this where it has its last hurrah. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's in the last week of September, but it decided, we're going to grab a couple days.
Right. We got a few more days left in us. And to be fair, it took a little while for the warm weather to arrive for the summer. So
there was a week, what was it, in June that I was wearing this same hoodie?
Yeah. So you know what?
That's how the profile picture is born. I'm wearing this.
Yeah.
So you know what? And I'm face palming.
That's fine. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Tuesday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Monday Night Football was really good. Really good. Jacksonville takes down the Chiefs 31-28. Trevor Lawrence, real quick on him, he had an interesting game. To say the least, an interesting game. He had both hilarious lows where you're like, yep, he doesn't have it. His processor is very slow, what have you. But he also had plenty of great moments, including that final drive. He has a pass to Travis Etienne that is just unbelievable. It's on that last drive.
Yep.
I think it's like a 28, 30-yard pass. It's unbelievable. If you can find it, it's on that last drive. He has two rushing touchdowns. Has a bad pick that probably should have been called for pass interference. He had another pick that he threw that was called for pass interference late in the game. But now the Chiefs are 0-3 in these games decided by one score. They were 11-0 last year. And, well, it does not take the sting out of a bad loss for the Bills. It really doesn't. Ultimately, looking around the league, even just this last week, there's a reason why there's no 5-0 teams, that all the undefeateds ended before the end of October. We don't have a team that really threatens, like we did last year, or really even most years, where it feels like you at least get to like 7-0, 8-0, right. something along those lines. You never got there. Everyone has done it 4-0. And now, to be perfectly honest, I've been saying this for at least the last week or so, I wonder how many truly great teams we have through the first 5 weeks. Again, it's through the first 5 weeks. Things can radically change in the next month or so, even less than 3 weeks. But so far, I think for me it's Detroit, and it's because they're somewhat of a known thing now. Maybe in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. maybe, just because, I mean, they keep beating the hell out of bad teams. Like, credit to them. Part. They're playing a not great schedule, but they are whooping everybody that they play. They, you know, the one game they play a really, really good opponent in the Rams, they don't win there. Although they did beat Denver, if I remember correctly, in Indianapolis. So, I mean, they've got some juice there. My issue with them is it's Daniel Jones at quarterback, and I do wonder how much of a ceiling there is there. But we've seen some quarterbacks have these revitalizations in their second or third stop after falling out where they were drafted. Almost. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. We'll get to those two in a little while.
You mentioned those three names, though, and it's like maybe there is this finer art toward quarterbacking and where patience and taking some time off is something that needs a proper balance to it, and not just throwing any rookie in there just because of the fact that we need to find out if he's the answer now to save jobs. And I understand that desperation. Like, you're trying to save jobs, looking at the Giants, Jackson mm-hmm. Dart. He's been okay to start his first two games, so it does seem like there's something there. But then you look at last night's quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. He's the only quarterback from his class that's not on a new team already, let alone the only one starting. Mac Jones starting in San Fran due to injury, but he's already on his third team. Trey Lance is on his third team. And Justin Fields is on his third team. Zach Wilson's on his third.
Like, yeah. They're 2021, all multiple stops now.
It's Trevor Lawrence and a bunch of dudes. But Lawrence, even, he has that terrible, no good, everything bad Urban Meyer rookie season. And he even puts it all into the same night. The best of Trevor Lawrence and the worst of Trevor Lawrence were all there in the same night. There is an interception that is not his fault of his own at all. You throw the slant pattern, you expect that player to be there. He got hit by a defender. And nothing was called.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also still bad Trevor Lawrence. There's a fine art about quarterbacks, and it's also still about, can you fine-tune it? What Kevin O'Connell did for Sam Darnold might have fixed him, but also, Darnold might have just had this all along, and the Jets were a terrible organization to work with.
Right. I've mentioned it. I think I'm getting close now to like 80-85% of what matters for a guy's career is where he winds up.
Where he winds up.
And I think that's really apparent with quarterbacks.
And Cam Ward is being...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thrown to the wolves with Brian Callahan, who's clearly not the guy, but then Arizona saved his job not once but twice in that day. Three times, Jonathan Gannon decided, I'm not going to use my timeouts until there's about 18 seconds left. You don't get to take them with you.
Yeah, he waited right to the end, and it just made no sense.
Made zero sense, and then the Titans were like, oh, now we can just kneel out and call our timeout and kick the game-winning field goal.
Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, though, the Bills are going to get two interesting ones in back-to-back weeks. They just dealt with Drake May. May looked very good on Sunday night, and he looks to be ascending. And I think the Patriots have done, you know, upsettingly, things in the right way. They got a coach that is a very good culture builder in Mike Vrabel and did things with a lesser talent at quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, albeit Ryan Tannehill was a vet and really knew what he was doing in the league, so it worked out perfect. Then they get him Stephon Diggs, and they seem to be getting rid of some of the dead weight on the team. They are really, truly building it towards being Drake May's team, and they're 3-2, and they're sitting in a really good spot, and they've done something that the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa have not been able to do in their entire time in the league in beating Allen in Buffalo. Patriots did that. Now, next up, it is another interesting young quarterback, this time on the road in Atlanta, Michael Penix, and a very, very talented Atlanta offense, but they're very inconsistent. I will say, and I already mentioned it right off the rip, you know, this week kind of put in perspective that losses obviously are going to happen. I know, surprise, surprise, we all discovered fire this week. But I mean it in the sense of, like, bad losses are going to happen. My fear with the Bills, and I mentioned on the nightcap last night, is I wonder how many of these issues, though, are fixed in-house. They are dealing with a ton of injuries on defense. That much is very known. They are dealing with not what they want on defense. But in terms of the secondary, based off the injuries they've picked up, I don't know how those are going to look, quote-unquote, when these guys come back, because I don't know about Dorian Strong with his neck injuries. Now seeing a neck specialist, and that may be something that is going to end his year. McDermott spoke yesterday with the media and said that that was on the table. Then
neck injuries, yeah.
Yeah, and Sal's mentioned a lot. Neck injuries specifically are a scary and difficult thing to deal with. You really don't know what's going on there. We'll see what happens. Then Max Harrison, LCL sprain, and we'll see what he's going to be when he comes back. He missed almost all of training camp. It almost would be unfair to expect anything other than what Rasul Douglas was 2 years ago, where they're just like, yeah, go stand there, go make a play, try to do something. And right. Not really learn the defense. That's probably not what's going to happen, but I always was entertained by that with Douglas, where he had a ton of picks, mainly because the team just threw him out there and was like, just go make a play.
Yeah.
Just do what you can after trading for
him. It's a little late for install.
Yeah. And while I've critiqued how the Bills have built their roster and you know, being the last few years, I can't really blame the secondary on him in at least this offseason. He's tried to build it. They've picked up injuries. Trey White was not their plan A. I think it would have been fine if he won it out of the battle out of camp. But I think the expectation was by around this time, if Harrison didn't pick up any injury, he was starting over him. You already saw it with Dorian Strong, that he was starting to pick up, you know, full series worth of reps where White was on the bench. They were starting to see that transition going. That's a sixth-round rookie. What happens with Harrison, who's a first-round pick, and was ultimately, at the time of his injury, head-to-head with him, maybe Trey White just surpassing him a little bit. So I can't totally blame that on him, but that's really my fear with the Bills. I think they're going to be better on defense, especially stopping the run. They already were pretty good against the Patriots on Sunday night. They're going to get Hoyt back. They're going to get Ogunjobi back. They're going to get Ed Oliver back. They're going to get pieces going. It's the secondary for me, Derek, that I'm nervous that they maybe won't do anything.
And not doing anything might also be Harrison's ready to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to find out what we got here. That's our first round pick. And that's the logic that would be behind that sort of thing. And I also do believe in NFL rosters still at least wanting to be respectful. If Trey White is struggling as much as he is, I don't see them cutting him in week 5. Mostly because the other night, it wasn't just Trey White.
Oh, no, that's absolutely right.
And because of that, again, I don't see anything extreme going on in that regard. They need to find out what they have in Harrison. Harrison needs to be ready to go. If they make a move that tells me that Harrison's knee is actually worse than we all thought, that's what that tells me, 1,000%. Or they're already thinking a move ahead of like, oh, someone else is probably going to get hurt knowing our luck right now. Which would be an interesting way to go about things, but
I don't know if it
not a bad
say,
one.
I don't know if it necessarily has to say that his knee is worse than maybe expected, but just
or
that,
it's a slower timeline.
That it's a slower timeline, and they don't want to put him in a position that could get him screwed over, where it's just like he's not ready for this. Like he missed more camp than Cole Bishop did last year, and
right.
He's coming off a knee injury. It would probably not be in their best interest to just throw him out there, even if they need to.
Like, but if we're going on the Douglas side of things.
And that's the problem, too. Like, even last night, I know people were complaining about Trey White. And to be fair, I did, too. Like, watching his play right now is sad. But who else are you going to throw in there? Dane Jackson or Jamarcus Ingram? Are you sure your situation changes at all?
And I think it has to do with the fact of, like, yeah, they trade for Douglas, and it's go ahead and make plays. You should be able to do the same with Harrison right now. Because he's been there for the install. He knows where he has to be. It's just more or less if they make a move, it is because the timeline is at a point where they don't feel good about it now. And it is about athletically, can we trust you?
Yeah, can we trust you right now?
It's not about the mental aspect. It is about your knee is a little bothersome. It took you a long time here. We don't necessarily love what we're seeing in practice, for example. Or, ready? It could be before the practice window even opens that the trade deadline has to come and go and you have to make a move.
Yeah.
You make a call. But if he's not practicing by the deadline, then you probably should be making
a move.
You should
make a move. And we do know the team is not, well, I'm going to say they have not made a decision, but they kind of have made a decision on all three of the guys that are on IR. None of them are practicing yet. McDermott mentioned that again yesterday, so we're still waiting for that practice window to open up. You have 21 days once that happens to decide on putting the guy on the active roster or putting them on IR for the season. They're still waiting on that period. Also could be, though, they're just waiting for the bye week to have those 2 weeks to start ramping it up, as you know, is probably the best for them to be able to do. The Bills may actually be one of the few teams that are benefited by an early bye. Usually you want it a little bit later. Maybe they're going to be benefited by that because you've played a lot of primetime games. The team might be just a little bit exhausted, maybe, like some fans are. I know Mike Schopas has brought this up of, man, we are running into a wall here with how many primetime games we've had and big moments, what have you.
Here's your
context.
You're
having another one. It's Monday Night Football, and then you're onto the bye.
You and I are actually the living embodiment of this. Three out of the five games that the Bills have played this year, we have walked out of these studios at 2:30 a.m.
Yeah, I can't wait for the bye week. I'm pretty pumped, and it's early.
I'm pumped to just not have to do this many primetime games. Because, again, I know I'm talking in a place where, like, I love doing this job. But 2:30 a.m. is still 2:30 a.m. And that always stinks no matter what you're doing. So I'm definitely looking forward to not having to do that for a little while. Like, even Monday night. It's a primetime game, but we're not going to have to be that late into it.
Yeah.
The 7:15 is such a beautiful thing.
It's such a bonus.
Such a boon. We're thriving now. But I think it's also because of the fact that they have been on primetime. They've been in front of America now for what will be four of their first six games. Am I getting this right?
I believe that's right, yeah. You look.
Mostly because I'm thinking about, like, oh, right, because Saints was 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why. So I just, all of that can finally go back a little bit. It's on the back burner. It's try to get back to just doing what you do.
Yeah, it's three of their first five, by the way. Three of their first five. It'll be four of their first six.
Four of their first six before this bye week are primetime games. You're not playing a typical schedule. And I don't think that that's had much to do about affecting their play.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that the team will welcome it a little bit of just getting back to a sense of normalcy.
Yeah, well, because they go on the bye, and then it's a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, all right, good.
But then they have a lot of 4:25s coming up in the stretch. Or they're on the road at 1 o'clock. It's a sense of normalcy again. Like, yeah, 4:25 is still not the usual, but it's normal. And it helps. Going back to our main point, though, with this team of, like, if there's something about making a move, corner's got to be on the top of the list. And I know it's not the only position that plenty of us are going to be thinking about. What I am wondering is, how many can you even pull off with the cap that they have?
Well, with the cap, and also, this is not the NHL or Major League Baseball.
You can't put a guy on IR and get that cap room readily available to you.
Not even that. Where teams make multiple moves. Where you'll see one move happen, it's like, hey, they're not done. And you're like, yeah, no, obviously.
Trades are still coming in after 4 o'clock.
Right. You know, teams will make like one, and that'll be it. And you mentioned, I think part of it is the cap situation. Teams
they
really don't
have
that
money
much money
to
play with. And then two, you saw it last year and you saw it the year prior. They're bringing in somebody and kind of just seeing how it works in the short term. Russell Douglas, they're just like, hey, go out and make a play. Amari Cooper. They're trying to like point him to where he's supposed to stand and what route he's going to be doing for the first few weeks that he's there.
I do respect the type of moves they've made over the last 2 years, though, which is we're getting a guy that can try to make some plays and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, they haven't been bad.
It's the athletic upside that they've been going for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, in that mentality, a rental policy. Douglas stays an extra year, but he doesn't seem to vibe with the system properly.
Yeah, it doesn't translate over
to
the next first full year.
But you get these guys that can try to make some plays for a short-term boon, and they know exactly what it is at that point. And even Douglas is a short-term stay, 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I respect the type of move they've been making. It stinks that we need another one, not just because we want it. It's because the team does seem to need it. It is because the team still seems to have these issues, like what we were talking about on the overtime show. What are the flaws that you can live with? What can I survive? What can this team survive? What is going to let me keep what remaining hair is on my head? And what are the issues that you have to actually go after at the deadline?
And I think corner right now, due to injuries, is becoming an issue you can't really have. Now, funny enough, that's the first game they're really killed in the passing game. For the most part this year, they are killed in the run game. But we had talked about it for a few weeks of, yeah, but how much is that just they're so bad at run defense, teams are just attacking the clear weakness. You saw a team with a quarterback and a wide receiver that could hit you, and they did. Now, it's not to say New England was perfect. Again, the Bills win this game if they don't turn the ball over three times. I think that is important to be stated.
It's a big thing to say.
Is that they won 23-20, and they won the turnover battle pretty comfortably. The Bills turn the ball over in the red zone and right at, what, their 10-yard line? Those are two huge turnovers that swing that game. I do want to preface this, though, that even if they were 5-0, we'd all be having the same issues. But I did mention to Nate on the post game. A loss, though, almost made it bearable to even discuss, where before it almost felt like inappropriate to be bringing up issues because you'd be 4-0 or 5-0. Now they're 4-1, and it kind of just is like, okay, we need to now discuss this. The corners are not playing to their level. And we're bringing up Trey White a lot, but Derek, I know you mentioned as well, it's not just White. Benford is not playing to his contract. Really, none of the guys they signed this offseason are playing up to their contract, realistically. On defense, I mean. And that is a big problem. And that's also where I am pointing to, okay, you got to make a move then. If this is going to be how it is, where you've got big injuries and your depth is being tested and your one clear starter is not playing up to his level that has maybe been set as a precedent for Benford, then you've got to make the move. I think we're going to learn a lot at Atlanta. This might be kind of like the Jets game last year where, okay, yeah, it's very clear they need a receiver. They lost two straight, Houston, Baltimore. Then they play the Jets, and it was like, okay, this is clear. They need a receiver. This year it's going to be, okay, you danced around with some of these teams that are not very good. Then you lost to the Patriots. What's this Atlanta game going to be like? You're playing Drake London, who's a great young receiver. You've got Bijan Robinson, who is one of the best running backs in football. Kyle Pitts. They've got weapons. Yes, they lost 30-0 to Carolina. The rest of their games, though? They've looked pretty darn good on offense. Not great, but pretty darn good on offense. It's going to be a big test for the Bills, and I think it's going to really tell us just what kind of move they should make, can make, what have you, because they're going to go into the bye, and it might be the perfect time to do it to really be able to install what's going on.
Trade deadline, by the way, is November 4th. So it will be after the Week 9 games. Who do the Bills play in Week 9?
Kansas City. 803-0550, the number to call. Rich, Jim, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. We'll also touch on some hockey as the NHL season gets underway tonight. MLB playoffs have been fantastic. Toronto going for the sweep tonight against the Yankees. And we'll also have our primetime performers coming up at 11 o'clock. Should be a fun day on a rainy Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Start with Stephon Diggs, because you know why? If you got a wide receiver that's hungry for pettiness, you got to feed him. Stephon Diggs went back to Buffalo.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me.
I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
He wanted to show him that he wasn't to be played with, that he could still get down with the get down. And if Stephon Diggs is Cardi B, then the Buffalo Bills were Nicki Minaj.
Ryan Clark of ESPN. It's the tough thing when you're going to lose those games, by the way. When there's a little bit there, you're going to be the butt of some jokes.
What the fresh hell did any of that mean?
I don't know.
I'm officially old.
I just know you're going to be the butt of some of these jokes, and that's fine. That's fine.
I'm officially old. I don't know what that meant.
I don't know what that meant. That's fine.
All right, I just got to...
I mean, Nicki Minaj had a great career, by the way, so I think it's okay to be Nicki Minaj. Maybe not in this situation, but I think overall, maybe not bad.
Yeah, I just don't know the timing of said joke, for example, there, but, you know, I mean, I guess that makes me old, and I'm okay with that.
That's all right. You gotta accept that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's pouring here on a Tuesday, but... Do want to let you know. Let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills and are now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. We are getting close to winter. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. That is going to be the thing, though. I mean, it's something we're going to have to deal with at least for the next few weeks. You did lose to them. And you're going to have to be the butt of some of those jokes. You're going to hear some of the shouty shows mention that, oh, the Patriots are back. It's their division now. Because to be fair, the division race is now going to be...
It's one game out.
Likely very close, especially when you look at both team schedules. Again, for me, I said it last night on the nightcap. I like Drake May in the future. I kind of even like him now. I don't know if current Drake May is going to be able to beat Josh Allen in a division race. On that, I just don't know, especially with these schedules. And even with the Bills not playing particularly good, they're still 4-1.
We are going to find out together.
803-0550, the number to call. Promise we'd get to the phones, and we'll start with Jim here. Jim, how are we doing?
Doing good. Pleasure to talk to you guys. How are you today?
Very well, very well.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Good, good. I will try to keep this short as humanly possible. I am wondering if we have a GM/coach problem. I'm not advocating for anybody to be fired or anything like that. But what I mean by that is, you know, it seems like with the draft, we have an issue with getting talent around Allen. Mm-hmm. And I know we've spent a number of years spending a lot of draft picks on defensive players. And a lot of them don't, you know, some of the later picks seem to pan out decently, except for this year, they're kind of disappearing, such as Benford. But then when I was on hold earlier, some of the other people, you know, were calling, and then, you know, my train of thought changed about a dozen different times. And they were talking about how, you know, Kincaid seems to come off the field when we need him most, and he's only getting played X number of snaps. And it seems like, you know, we never have enough cap room. It seems like a lot of players that we do have aren't at the same level as around the league. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. The Chiefs have built up good teams and spent so many picks on it. And, you know, where we had Russo and we had Boogie Basham, and then we drafted Kair, and we've had a lot of misses. And then, you know, we go and we get Kincaid, who we'll have to wait to see. But even with getting Coleman, it doesn't seem like we are getting the players that can really help Allen when we need it the most, because we've all watched the games. We've seen wide receivers not be able to separate. We've seen Allen scrambling around and trying not to get sugar high Allen. And, you know, do I love watching Superman Allen? Who doesn't? However, if we go out there and get on top of Jeremy White's, you know, wide receiver train, wouldn't the best way to help this team be by getting five wide receivers that can get lots of separation and can be game changers, and, you know, we still run the ball control offense, we still, you know, run the ball to set up the pass, vice versa, yet, you know, we have the ponies to go out there when we need it, because I'm very confused with a lot of what's going on, and I'm very nervous that this is setting up for us. Yes, maybe we finally get the first seed, but what if we get into the playoffs and, okay, they're not playing all these players because they want to get to the playoffs healthy, and we get there and they lay an egg because, you know, Trey White's still starting corner and I love Trey White to death, or Christian Benford doesn't step up, or Greg Rousseau doesn't do something, or Bosa. It is very frustrating with all of it, and I'm worried that this is going to be a repeat of the last couple of years. And then the last question, before I just listen, is one of my good friends that I tailgate with, I met him when he tried offering his steak to Andre Reed walking through the parking lots. Every do the same thing, and nobody bites. No pun intended. Do you have any advice on him on how to boost his confidence for trying to get maybe 50 when he walks through, Stevie Johnson, you guys, on how to get some good food? Because he makes pretty good food. So, Jesse, I hope you're listening. Thanks, guys. Look forward to your only day. Go Bills.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for the call. I don't really have any advice on that. I mean, usually just if you're selling food, just, you know, promote it.
That's free samples.
Free samples at a mall is usually a good idea. That's usually all I got there.
That's probably what it is. People don't feel like paying for anything.
That's also true.
It's probably what it is.
On the roster, though, I go back and forth with the wide receiver train, adding always on offense. It is an offensive league first. It is a quarterback league first. I don't disagree with that, especially in the modern day. But this is something I was talking about in the offseason of the talent issue. I said in the first segment, I can't entirely blame the secondary problems this offseason on Bean. They did try to address it in multiple different ways of bringing in a number of veterans. They also had a number of draft picks. It just sucks that a lot of these guys are getting hurt. They can't really plan for that. The problem is, though, you were back to drafting a cornerback in round one because the Elam pick was such a disaster, and it was such a miss. And that's why you're right back there. I will say, though, in terms of the overall talent, it does feel that way, that a lot of their picks are just pretty good guys. Now, this year, some of the early signs are pretty nice on Deion Walker and Jackson Hawes. The early signs there are very nice. But that's, again, a fourth and a fifth-round pick, where your second-round pick in T.J. Sanders, who you traded up for, could be trending towards a healthy and active. Landon Jackson finally got his first game day jersey, and ultimately, I don't really think did anything.
Played 15 snaps, got zero on the box score.
So he did play some defensive snaps, but didn't really do anything. I will say the Bills have built a great O-line. They maybe don't necessarily have any of that star power. You know, you don't have necessarily a Penei Sewell or a Lane Johnson, stuff like that, where you're like, yep, all-pro guy right there, and it, you know, the rest of the line fills out. It's a bunch of really good guys with great team chemistry. And Dalton Kincaid is maybe really developing into something. James Cook, I think, absolutely is a hit. I think he's a hit. He's a star. And maybe even trending towards an all-pro year. And I was a little aggressive the night of the game or wrapping up the game and talking about it was just Josh Allen and a bunch of guys. But, yeah, it's a lot of, like, okay, good players. And there's very few great players on the team. I will say, though, looking around the rest of the AFC, there are a lot of shaky rosters.
Everyone's flawed.
The NFC, though, is where you do look at and you see just so much star power.
There's a little bit more of a terrifying punch to the NFC. Our own Sal Capaccio, the host of this show, primarily, he tweeted out something earlier today saying it was the red wedding for a lot of the Super Bowl favorites, and the Lions survived.
Yeah, they were the, what is it, one of like the only six teams
And I do love how well, let's say I'll put the thought into that tweet because Lannisters, the lion is the crest.
There we go.
That's a banger tweet right there.
But yeah, so on that, I mean, Bills lost, Lions won, Packers on the bye, Eagles lost, Chiefs lost, Ravens lost, Rams lost. And each of those teams, you look right there, all have pretty glaring issues. The Chiefs just seemingly cannot get out of their own way, and they're losing games they won last year. They're 0-3 in one score games. The Ravens, I think many people would be surprised, are still up there now, being at 1-4 with how ravaged they are by defensive injuries. But even, I think many of us are sitting here going, cool, but even when they were healthy, the Bills put up 40 on them or 41 on them. They really didn't seem to have much of a struggle once the game got going. Rams, their secondary is horrific. Kendrick Bourne went 10 catches for over 140 yards off 11 targets. That's Kendrick Bourne with Mac Jones throwing the football. That secondary is horrific. Eagles, their offense seems genuinely broken. And maybe it's an OC who's calling plays for the first time in his career. Maybe it's the chemistry with the players. Don't really know.
But I really think it's just the OC never calling plays in his career.
But to be fair, they did win the Super Bowl last year, so they do have some benefit of the doubt, at least with me.
Not with the offense.
Not with the offense.
Because the way it looked last year versus the way it looks this year,
very different.
If I'm with like WIP down there, like I'm probably fielding calls left, right, and center about this dude's never called plays before, and it shows.
Packers started wonderfully, 2-0, and they look like a wagon.
Hair on fire.
They then lost to Cleveland, and they tied with Dallas.
Everything else is on fire.
Lions, I think, is maybe the best team in football right now. And they don't really – I mean, but they're also picking up injuries in their secondary. Taron Arnold, I saw, was going to be out long-term. And then I think they had another secondary player who's out for a little while as well. So they might be picking up injuries again. It's just – there are a lot of flawed teams, funny enough, in both the NFL and college football. Like, there doesn't seem to really be a super team that you're just like, I just don't know how people are going to get past them. It makes the parity level of the NFL a lot more fun because there seems to actually be parity in the NFL. We'll see, though, if that rings true come, you know, December and January. The Bills are going to absolutely be there, though. Again, I've said it multiple times. They're as good as going to the bank. They're going to be 11 to 13 wins. I think they're still going to win the AFC East even after losing New England. We'll see, though. They got Atlanta coming up on Monday Night Football. Very talented team, but very, very inconsistent team. They put up a big old donut against Carolina.
Against Carolina, a team that New England stomped, and Miami should have beaten.
Up 17-0. Tough.
Who else smacked around Carolina this year? Someone else already did it, too.
Probably a few teams.
Hang on, I need to look at it. Give me a second.
All right, let's go to the phones while you're doing that. Rich is up next. Rich, how we doing?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
Couple things. I probably have more than a couple things, but I'll try to keep it brief. I keep hearing stuff about, we got to protect Josh, and we don't need sugar high Josh, like the one gentleman just spoke about. And we don't need sugar high Josh. But I'll tell you what, against Atlanta and the way that our defense is looking, we're going to need Superman to get to the bye at 5-1. And I watched last night, and I watched two franchise $40 million contracts laying it on the line, running, not sliding, not doing anything, running over, trying to run over or run through guys, smart or not smart. These guys were hungry, and they wanted to win. And then I hear, well, it, you know, we can't get that deep ball because it's the way people are playing us. And then I see two teams last night doing the deep ball. So either we got a GM problem because we don't have the talent in here, or we have an OC problem because he's just way too conservative. One more point, guys. We got to trade for – I heard you talking about it. We got to trade for a corner. We cannot keep Line and Trey White up there. And if we got to give up a one or a two to get the best cornerback on the worst team – into our house, we need to do it by the bye so that we can work this guy in, or before the bye. Trey White's a tire fire, man. And on the Rasul Douglas trade that looked so good, I read some interviews by Rasul Douglas, and he basically said those stud safeties we had back there when he came in told him exactly to be, and that's why he was picking up interceptions. Now we got these two young guys back there, and one of them plays 20 yards back.
Yeah, no,
it's a big circle of it's either screw ups or, you know, not enough experience or Sound like a frustrated guy? I guess I am.
No, Rich, totally get it, man. Thanks for the call.
Welcome to a week of a loss.
I will say I'm not trading a first-round pick for a corner after just drafting a corner with a first-round pick. I'm not doing that.
Correct, because there's also a massive contract on the other side of the football.
And you're not
on the other side of the field.
You're not going to need to do that to survive. That's my thing. Every team's going to have issues. It's which ones can you hide? I think they can hide the secondary if they do make a – not a massive move, but a move for a corner. I don't think they need to do anything crazy. I think as well for the offense, if you want to make a small move there, someone like Rashid Shaheed, adding speed to the offense in the receiver room that they really don't have it. Again, you did mention, though, the two high safeties. You know, I'm watching two teams last night, you know, throwing the deep ball. Yeah, they're not the Bills. And the Chiefs have had a real struggle on offense all year throwing the deep ball. The Tyquan Thornton one, I'm sorry. That's a pick if you can find the ball, number three.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good pass. That's not something I'm writing home about.
Yeah.
Now, Trevor Lawrence, deep to Etienne, is gorgeous, beautiful. They're also trying to get down the field. The Bills, when they've needed to get down the field, have been able to open up with Prida and defense. But throughout the game, no, it's been much better for them to just dip and dunk, take what the defense is giving them. My only issue on Sunday night with the offense was obviously the turnovers, but then I felt like Kincaid should have been playing more. That was my thing. He's right around 50% on average his snap count this year. I felt like Sunday night, was an example of he should have been playing more. He was your best man beater, and that was his best game as a receiver by a good bit. And it's not to say anything disrespectful how he's been even this year, but just he was a menace. He was a problem for New England to deal with, and it felt like that should have been a game where he had 9-10 targets because that's what he was justifying. He should have been the Bill Stephon Diggs on Sunday night, and it just never materialized into that.
And the last thing for me, we got to hit a break. The thing that really is my frustration with the offense, the big thing is, you didn't get it done in the run game either, though. So it causes for you do have to throw the football. The script is dictating that we have to do this. But now you see, when the balance is off, now things could get a little screwy.
Mm-hmm.
As football works, this is not a Joe Brady thing. This is not an exclusive thing for the Bills. If the balance is thrown off, things can get screwy.
And also, speaking of balance, too, don't take double-digit penalties for a second week in a row. That might help the balance and the rhythm of the offense keep going.
That's also a big deal.
That's why I don't want to totally blame Sean Hockley's crew. This is 2 weeks in a row they've taken double-digit penalties.
Yeah, it's not an accident when you do it twice.
Getting connected to our fans, and we'll keep doing that as we continue on, is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on the show? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. This is WGR. Tailgate Trivia is back, presented by Total Sports Enterprise Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch. It's courtesy of TSE Buffalo. Hour number one rolls along here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on a rainy Tuesday. Today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've got our top five primetime performers coming up at the top of the hour. A very good week, not just in football. Got some baseball as well. Hockey starts tonight. 5 p.m. start, Florida, Chicago.
I have thoughts about that.
Personally, kind of all for it. If you're going to the game or you're from Chicago and it's going to be 4 o'clock for you, kind of sucks.
Just push it back an hour.
Honestly. 6 o'clock might have been like the perfect start time.
Because on the East Coast, it's rush hour.
Yeah, you're in your car driving home from work, maybe.
Yeah. Like,
there's a very good chance of that.
Like, that's – like, push it back an hour. That's – I mean, I'm getting nitpicky about – the league that raises my blood pressure, but, you know, it is what it is.
3 games tonight. Sabres, though, won't get going until Thursday at home against the Rangers. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton on that Thursday. We'll also be talking to Mike Rose, Batavia Daily, tomorrow at 10:30 for, you know, some Bills action, of course, but also a report from Pete Thamel today. John Mateer, Oklahoma quarterback, pushing to play this week, the Red River, this Saturday in Dallas against Texas.
So that's raising your blood pressure.
Yeah, me and Mike met at Bills training camp. He's an Oklahoma fan. I'm a Texas fan. So we'll get a little Red River and some Bills talk tomorrow at 10:30.
So I should run this and then ask you two the questions?
Yeah, right, right. We'll just talk Texas totally going to 3-3. Let's get to the phones again real quick here. David is up next. David, how we doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're hanging.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, look, like, totally get the injuries, totally get the roster stuff, but it kind of feels like nobody's really having the Bobby Babbage conversation, right? Like, we had lots of injuries with Leslie Frazier, and the defense never looked like this. So, I don't know. I don't know how much coaching is playing into this. It certainly feels like at least a little bit, but they have to make some changes. This has been 2 years of the same thing.
David, thanks for the call. I get it, because I was kind of here week one. Leslie Frazier and even the year McDermott had it, they had elite talent at the safeties. They had some elite corner talent.
Even with the injuries, there was either Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde always back there. And this is nothing against Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop. I have plenty of things I can pick about their games, but this is not one of them. Neither of them is Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer. It's a talent issue.
And at least, for this year too, we really have just not seen what this what they even want the defense to remotely look like yet this season with the Hoyt and Ogunjobi injuries. You know, it does bear mentioning. I know it's a PFF grade, but it's kind of the one thing you can really get in terms of this stuff. They're not a very good run defending team. But Michael Hoyt, they brought in. He was a top 10 PFF graded run defender at his position. And he's a versatile defender that I think they have a lot of ideas to use with him, maybe not putting Joey Bosa in so many situations where he maybe arguably shouldn't be out there.
And allow him to just pin his ear back and tee off.
Maybe more of the pass rushing specialist. They maybe haven't had the time or really the bodies to justify that.
And that includes your third round pick only getting his first game.
I will say, though, we're probably not that far off from having the Bobby Babbage conversation anyways. He has not really been...
Get all your guys back and we still have the same problems?
Right.
That conversation gets ramped up to 11.
I think we are getting close to that, though.
We are getting close to it.
Because David is right. Through 2 years, it's not like the defense has become a calling. If anything, it has been a real massive negative to this team, and it does not fall at McDermott's door. Like, Bobby Babbage is the defensive coordinator, and he is calling the plays.
And that is typically the thing, is that the defense has been around like the top 15 as a unit throughout McDermott's entire tenure. There's like 1 year where there's a dip, but that's the year that they have injuries to both Hyde and Poyer. Hyde's out for the year. Poyer misses a couple of games or drives to Kansas City because he can't fly. Makes the start anyway. But, yeah, it's never been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. It's looking like it's a bit of a problem.
It might become a problem. Primetime performers coming up after the break, 803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on the show. We'll also get some hockey talk and baseball talk in as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
What did the Patriots prove yesterday?
Nothing! Not a darn thing! You know what? Maybe they proved something. That nobody's going 17. The Bills were going to lose to somebody.
Chris Broussard.
Saying it very loudly for some reason.
Might be correct, though.
No, he was correct.
Yeah, the Bills turned the ball over. They finally lost the turnover battle after 26 games.
As somebody who has the occasional tendency to get loud, why do you do it there?
Yeah.
Like, nobody was arguing against that, buddy. Like,
oh, well, maybe they were. Maybe they were. But I will say, I'm interested to see what New England looks like the rest of the year. Their schedule's very easy.
So is the Bills.
So is the Bills. But look, it's a very good win for them, and we mentioned it on pregame. Mm-hmm. That is a win that will buy that group in more than anything. And Vrabel's already very good at building that culture, building a team that is willing to run through a wall for each other. That's the kind of win that really galvanizes the group and proves the point as well. So look, I said it to start the show too. I think what's maybe most impressive for that for New England, they did something Miami couldn't do for years. With Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Mike McDaniel. You got one win on the Bills at home in a heat wave, but you never could beat them in Buffalo, and you couldn't really beat them when it matters. And now New England went up against an undefeated Bills team, and they did beat them. Albeit, it took winning the turnover battle, which is important, and the Bills have done that for years now.
But that's part of where the Broussard clip kind of resonates, is that It's still all, overall nothing. It's week five.
Right, and he said, what did that prove? No one's going to go undefeated? Yeah. And one team do
and,
that.
And we said the Bills were going to lose to somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, based off of the way that they played over the last 3 weeks, that was absolutely happening.
Yep.
And it was just this one.
Spoiler alert, I don't think, at least definitely for me, no players from that game are going to be on the primetime performers. I thought about putting Stephon Diggs on, but he'll be on the honorable mentions. That's where we start as we get to our week five prime time performers for week five. But really, it's just overall this weekend because, as we have mentioned, we are going to do some other sports as well. The baseball playoffs are underway. Great so far. And I will start there with my first honorable mention. It is Stephon Diggs. I've seen a few tweets about him meeting the moment. He absolutely did. I will never not love that he is that kind of receiver. He's that kind of player. So it's why I like Baker Mayfield, too. They will build things up in their head. Diggs, you probably wanted your way out of Buffalo. It may be mutual. Let's not act like you're a spurned ex. But to that point, man, it brings out a hell of a player. 12 targets, 10 catches, 146 yards. He was the best receiver on the field by quite a margin.
Quite a margin, and it was something that we pointed out on the overtime show of it's fitting that he was the best receiver on the field when you know the Bills kind of had some struggles a little bit with their wideouts throughout the evening. Yeah, like you said, though, like, don't act like the Bills pushed you out and it was a solo act from them. Don't act like that. But it proves
but also kind of act like that because that's what.
But it proves the point
yeah.
that athletes will create whatever they need to get themselves going. Any sort of motivation that they need to put there, it could be the Shaquille O'Neal was the greatest at putting fake bulletin board material out there in order to prove something wrong. Shaq, what are you talking about?
Love it.
Love so,
it. Love it.
My first honorable mention is going to go to Mac Jones. Second time he's been on this so far, which is weird because he's not the starting quarterback.
He's had to play it like, though.
He's had to play like at 342 yards, two touchdowns, and a win against the Rams, keeping the banged up to oblivion 49ers atop the NFC West with a couple of very interesting contenders this year. And challengers. The NFC West, super fun. And why? Mm. Oh, I've got a little spoiler alert of my own. There's another team from the West that is going to end up in this list.
Yep. My other honorable mentions, two quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, CJ Stroud. They beat up really bad teams, but they both threw for four touchdowns. Prescott might actually be playing at an MVP level. He may not have enough wins to get the award.
No.
But he continues to be, I think, maybe the most underrated quarterback in the sport. I get it, he plays for Dallas. I love him. And he just puts up oogles and boogles of numbers on less than rosters. He doesn't even have CeeDee Lamb, and it kind of doesn't matter. CJ Stroud sort of needed this game. He beats up a really, really bad Texans team, or Ravens defense, but he kind of needed that. I think the Texans as a whole really needed that because up to this point, really for the last year and some change, they just have not looked like that ascending team that everyone thought they would be. They're now playing second fiddle to teams like Jacksonville and Indianapolis in their own division, and it felt like Houston had lapped them pretty quickly once they got Stroud. It hasn't been proven true, but both those guys, big performances, both throw four touchdown passes. I think both, though, under 300 yards in those contests, beating up bad defenses.
My final honorable mention, I'm going to head to the diamond. Blake Snell, Dodgers pitcher, six innings, one hit allowed in a dominant performance in Game 2 against the Phillies that puts the Dodgers one win away from a sweep against Philadelphia now as well. I will be returning to the diamond a decent amount for my primetime performers. I figured I'd at least get the honorable mention out of the way there. But yeah, Blake Snell, incredible game from him. Nine strikeouts, no earned runs, one hit allowed. He did walk four players. That's why he's in the honorable mentions portion of this. But that survived.
Yeah. I've got two honorable mentions left, both with baseball. One I won't spend too much time on because I know he's on your list, so we'll let you kind of talk a little bit more about that. But first up, Mariner second baseman Jorge Polanco, two home runs off of Tarik Skubal.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In their 3-2 win over Detroit on Sunday.
That series Mariners, is 1-1.
I mean, that series is 1-1, and that's Skubal, who...
It's Skubal, yeah.
Him and Paul Skeens, there's a few other names mentioned in there, but are two of the just straight-up unhittable pitchers. And for a guy in one game to get two off of him and play a massive role in getting that win, great for them. You'd think it's going to be someone like Cal Raleigh or what have you. Polanco, though, great performance for him. And then the other one, Jays pitcher Trey Yesavage, 11 strikeouts, no hits allowed, just one walk in, just over five innings played. Also on Sunday, Jays do get that 13-7 win over
Boiler
the Yankees.
Alert, he is a lot higher than where you put him.
Yeah, so we'll start with your number five now with the honorable mentions all wrapped up.
All wrapped up. So I'm going to go to college football, actually, for this one for number five.
Oh, very nice.
And that's UCLA quarterback Nico Amalava. 166 yards, two touchdowns passing, 128 yards on the ground, three touchdowns rushing in UCLA's first win of the season over number 7 Penn State. This program needed that win. It is becoming a rough sledding for Deshaun Foster and UCLA, but then it turns and flips the other side. James Franklin, just on the heels of losing another game to a top 25 opponent, loses to a winless team.
And with that now, the preseason number one and number two teams are both out of the top 25 Texas after losing to Florida. And then, as you mentioned there, Penn State dropping two in a row, Oregon at home, and then UCLA on the road. I still don't understand how they lost that game. And they were losing most of the game. It wasn't even like it was a last-second comeback. UCLA dominated offense. Nico Amalava was a huge reason why. Up to this point, his transfer out of Tennessee looks to be a disaster, but that was a great game.
That game was not one of them, though.
Absolutely. So number five for you, Nico Amalava. For me, number five, Nick Benito, outside linebacker for the Denver Broncos. Some of the names on this list are going to start turning into more just how their season has gone, and they continue to push it. 2.5 sacks against the Eagles. He's got 7 already. He's on pace for 24 sacks. The league record is 22.5 in a season, held by Michael Strahan and TJ Watt, respectively. He is just transformed into one of the best pass rushers in the game. His pressure rate is exceeding almost everybody. He is a major reason why that defense in Denver is such a problem for everyone to deal with. While I don't think their offense is anything to write home about, that defense is a calling card, and they may be on the run here of having two straight players, different players, winning Defensive Player of the Year. Patrick Surtain does last year. I think Nick Benito should be the favorite to win it this year.
Defensive star players. I'm starving. I'm also actually hungry. Number four, we go back to the diamond. And we go to Toronto and the Yankees. No, it's not Yesavage. Not yet. It's the Placata. Vlad Guerrero Jr., 3 of 5, 4 RBIs, the grand slam in the fourth inning. a dominant day by the Blue Jays, at least a dominant five innings, is capped off in the fourth when Vladdy Jr. goes yard. Second level on that grand slam. No doubter type thing. I remember I was in the studio watching the replay of it. I'm showing Zach the pause of like, who are the fans behind the plate that recognize it first?
Oh, that was fun, yeah.
But it was one of those like, ball go dong. It's a no doubter. Mm-hmm. And again, up to the second level in the ballpark. And I'm like, yep, no. Vladdy Guerrero Jr., get him on the primetime performers. That hit alone does it. But he's been so efficient throughout already the weekend against the Yankees.
Number four for me, Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. Again, kind of the same vein as Nick Benito. I think it's going to be him and Puka Nacua right now are the favorites to win the Offensive Player of the Year. Only has 66 rushing yards, three scores, though. He has been a major factor in why the Colts have just been able to blow out some of these bad teams they've been able to play. And look, I mean, the Taylor situation's been so weird. It seems like we've been dancing around. He's been great. Then they've got stuff going on in the offseason with his contract, what have you. Then he's dealt with injuries. Now this year, it seems like he's right back to where he was in terms of the top-tier echelon of running backs in the NFL. He's a bulldozer. He's their best player on offense, and he's proving it again. Again, just 66 yards, but three touchdowns, and they're able to just kind of run away from the Raiders early. Geno Smith, by the way. Boy, we talk about QB renaissances, and he maybe started it. It's in a dark age, though, for Geno Smith. He is playing some bad, bad football right now.
The Seahawks have done it again, unloaded a quarterback when they absolutely needed to. I wonder what Sam Darnold's crash out's going to look like.
It's historic at this point.
Speaking of Sam Darnold, though, what a way to get to number three on the primetime performers list, because Zach and I are going to be in lockstep with these following two. For number three and number two, but number three is the entirety of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Seattle Seahawks football game.
Well, here, look, ultimately, it started off perfect. The uniforms.
Yes.
You're going back to the 70s, the aesthetic is perfect, and then the game was incredible. And it's I didn't want to, because ultimately, if I was just picking players from this game, most of the list would be that game. It would be Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Emeka Buka, Jackson Smith and Jigba. All right, let's find a fifth guy. We're not going to do that. I mean,
not clogging the list with one game.
But it was an unbelievable game. It was tight the whole way. It was blow for blow. It's that old school QB battle, that QB duel that you think of. And I like that it was two guys that maybe you wouldn't expect. It's the two maybe lost guys from the 2018 draft class. Lamar and Allen have won their MVPs, their stars of the league, where Baker and Darnold have taken the road less traveled. They've had to go through different stops. They've had to been beaten down and rise again. And they both were electric. I would argue, really up until Darnold throws that pick right at the end of the game, it was for both guys their best games as pros. They were both flirting around 80% completion percentage. They're throwing deep balls. I'm saying it again, toe for toe, throw for throw. It was incredible to watch, and I will not be surprised if these two teams meet again in the playoffs. It's a shame one of them had to lose.
That's exactly what we were saying. And the biggest highlight from that game, though, was you screaming at Red Zone to put that game back on, take us back to God's country, because why are we watching?
Pacific Northwest. Why am I watching Arizona-Tennessee? Simply could not figure that out. Get me off the triple box. Get me back to the Pacific Northwest.
It's still funny now. That's what I loved about it.
Because I still can't understand. And again, we don't have volume on, so they're probably like, they're in a break. We'll get you back here in a second. But I'd rather watch those commercials. The commercials have probably been electric.
Oh, my God.
It was a wonderful game.
Still hilarious. We move on to number two here. Rico Dowdle, Carolina running back. 23 carries, 206 rushing yards, 28 receiving yards tacked onto it, as well as a rushing touchdown. And it was a fantastic day here for the Carolina running back at number two here for me on the primetime players.
And I also go Rico Dowdle as well. Great for him to get that, especially with, you know, he has to fill in for an injury. You ultimately don't have, you know, a Carolina team that is necessarily all that good, and they're down 17-0. And Dowdle, funny enough, at running back, is the guy to get them going. He's got a few great moments in that game. Also, should mention, Eric Collins, who's the play-by-play guy for the Charlotte Hornets, is the play-by-play guy for that game. Phenomenal.
Hey,
if you get a chance to listen to those highlights, please do it. It's so much fun.
Everyone's like, oh, that was so corny. That man for 82 games has to generate excitement about the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, let the man live.
Let the man cook. in a game that, yeah, it's two bad teams playing each other, but you know what? He made it exciting because the game ended up exciting.
Even the Jalen Waddle touchdown, right. He made exciting, and he's clearly rooting for the Carolina team.
He's
didn't matter.
But he still made sure to stay unbiased in it as well. Mm-hmm. It's that Carolina in the second half makes the plays. So that excitement's going to be generated even by a neutral broadcaster no matter what.
Yeah.
So that was perfect there. But Dowdle was fantastic.
Yeah, so.
Like, are you kidding me?
Buck Seahawks at 3, Enrico Dowdle at 2 for both of us. Also, real quick, do want to mention for Buck Seahawks as well, because I didn't get to mention the receivers too much, but both Emeka Ibuka, Jackson Smith, and Jigba, both over 100 yards, both dominant. Incredible performance by both those two, who are very quickly becoming stars in this league.
Ohio State receivers, it's a factory.
Just draft them. Number one.
Number one, I hinted at it. It's Trey Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Five and a third innings pitched. Sets the franchise record in postseason play for strikeouts in a game with 11. No earned runs. No hits. Nobody got on base with a hit of theirs. He walks one person. Near perfect baseball from a guy who was playing in single A to start the year. Our own Pat Malacaro was on Sports Talk Saturday with me and Joe Calley. He had mentioned Trey Savage and how important his role is going to be as the game two pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Brings up the fact that it's a single A guy to start the year. And he storms through double A, through the Bisons, to playing in Toronto in the biggest moment. And if there's the one moment, the one Yankees batter, he calls a timeout. Yusevich stands there, not flinching a muscle. He wants to get back to work.
Mm-hmm. Great performance by him.
It was an aura farming moment because what happens? Swing and miss, strike three.
Mm-hmm.
For the first out. Oh, that's just... That is sports right there. Crowd roaring immediately on it. And it's like, oh, that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's what the kids call aura farming. And no, Yusevich was incredible in this. And I'd imagine now, because of the fact that they pull him after going through five deep and
throws
78
sixth, pitches, yeah.
He only throws 78 pitches. If they need him in game five, they can go to him.
Let's see if there's even a game
I
five.
I hope that that's not what's happening, but if it's the case, I'll spend whatever buku bucks I have to get to Toronto for that one.
Yeah. Yankees Blue Jays tonight at 8. Yankees looking to avoid the sweep as they are back home in the Bronx. Again, that game getting going at 8. Mariners-Tigers also will get the day started at 4. Number one for me, also with the Blue Jays, I hinted at a little bit as well. I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on here. Finally a Toronto star player, acts like a star player in the biggest moments. He's 6-for-9 through 2 games. He's got 2 home runs, the first one coming at his first at-bat of the series, the second being that monster grand slam you talked about. This is also a player that, to start this year, you kind of didn't know where you were going to go with him if you were the Blue Jays. The feeling was they were not going to get the contract extension done. Then they are able to get it happening. He starts a little bit slow, and then he explodes as the year goes on. He's become a very good contact hitter as well as the power, of course. And in part, he's on this list also, yeah, because it's finally a Toronto player showing up in the biggest moments. Maple Leafs fans have been dealing with that for years of just great in the regular season, bad in the playoffs. Guerrero, exceptional so far in the playoffs. And again, looking for the sweep tonight into the Bronx. Be amazing for the Blue Jays if they can get that done. I didn't know how they would match up against either the Yankees or the Red Sox, especially with how the Yankees were playing towards the end of the year. Turns out they match incredibly well. The bats have been on fire, led by Guerrero.
And obviously it's not done yet, but I did have a much better feeling about facing the Yankees than the Red Sox.
Red Sox seem to straight up have their number.
As the resident Jays supporter in the station. Oh, no. Pat first. Pat.
Yes.
Pat's the resident Jays supporter. As the runner-up to that at the station. Yeah. I was much more optimistic about them facing the Yankees than the Red Sox. It's not done yet, though. They need to close it up. And again, if it gets to 5, well, you got my number one up there on the primetime players list. I do like that. It's a Toronto Blue Jays player, though, for both of us here on primetime players at number one, Trey Yusevich and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Give them your flowers.
So good.
Let's go.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll get back to some of your calls after a quick timeout. We'll also get into some hockey talk as well. The season starts tonight at 5, Chicago at the Florida Panthers as they usher in their second straight Cup-winning season. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR.
When you blitz, first thing you want to make sure is that whatever situation that blitz is precise in what we're doing. And then secondly, it's whatever we're trying to accomplish in that blitz, whoever we're trying to target, whatever players we're getting matched up on, we want to see some nastiness and some blitzers that win. In a sense, trying to create chaos, not only in the run game, but in the pass game.
That is a Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich talking about blitzes, right? Want to cause chaos. Bills blitz percentage this year, 25.2%. Middle of the pack?
It needs to get home, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Now, the times they've brought blitzes, it's also middle of the pack, 40%. Or, 40 times. They're not blitzing a ton. I will say the teams that are leading the way, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Denver, Minnesota, Giants, Dolphins, Detroit. Denver's defense, man. Oh, man.
Denver's defense has been fun. As a matter of fact, there was a play that was a blitz late in that game against Philadelphia where I do believe it was from the corner on the defensive left, offensive right.
They brought two guys.
One guy from the edge on the offense's left immediately affects Hurts to where he has to roll out. But the far side blitz, what turns into the away side now, he fights through it all and gets the sack on Jalen Hurts. It was a beautifully designed blitz, but also the effort that has to get there. You have to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have players that are covering enough to complement it. And that's been part of the Bills' problem as of late is I do know that Trey White's trying to make sure he's not getting cooked deep. But if he's playing off when the Bills are sending a blitz, if a quarterback knows he's hot, he's throwing that football.
Yeah, and you even talk about like just playing off ball too. I mean, it's even going to the safeties, Taylor Rapp.
He's off the screen.
Yeah, and it's where you wonder, is that the scheme issue? Is it a Babich issue?
Yep.
Or is that more, look guys, the talent we have, we do not have the high-end athletes to make up for.
We need to compensate.
If we're beat deep, so we're going to end up playing a lot of the bend, don't break defense. The problem is, and this is where I'll agree with a lot of Bills fans, guys, we've been there and done that for far too long. It has gotten you killed in the playoffs. We'll see if getting some of these guys helps them out. Michael Hoyt, with how versatile he is as a defender, may help them, especially on the line, and might put them more into a situation where Nick Bosa is not out there so much, Joey Bosa is not out there so much on downs. He really shouldn't be. Him in run defensive situations, it's constantly a bad thing.
At the very least, it's bad enough of a thing.
Mm-hmm. It's bad enough of a thing. Yeah.
Like he hasn't been gashed for every run play that the Bills have had against him this year.
No.
But it's been bad enough of a thing for him against the run in particular.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's get back to the calls. Chris has been waiting patiently. Chris, how are we doing today?
Good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I think the one reason I think this team will never win a Super Bowl is Brandon Bean. Now, did you guys see the third down? Like, before Trevor Lawrence's fumble on fourth and goal, did you guys see the third down play? Do you remember it by any chance?
I was not able to watch that one live. I saw it ended up afterwards, but fill us in.
So it was their safety that they drafted in the fourth round came flying from the middle of the field and knocked Lawrence out at the 1 yard line. Like he was a walk-in touchdown and came flying over. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because Javon Holland signed a $15 million a year deal with the Giants. Now, where do you find that $15 million? Well, you don't give Josh Palmer $12 million because you draft a receiver. You don't give Curtis Samuel $8 million because you draft a receiver. And then you don't have to pay Elijah Moore $2.5 million or whatever he's getting. So it's a double whammy for this team. Is that when wide receiver is the second most valuable position in terms of annual contracts. So you're incentivized to draft receivers and often because they're the cheapest form behind a rookie quarterback. So now we have to waste 7 draft picks on defensive players that happen not to be good. So if you just draft wide receivers early and then sign Javon Holland for $15 million, I think this team looks a lot different, and we're not complaining about that they don't have options deep and whatever, what have you. So that's the biggest problem. And until Brandon Bean addresses those issues and changes philosophy, I don't think his team is ever going to win a Super Bowl. Hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Chris, thanks for the call. I could understand that feeling, and that's something I go back and forth with. Like they needed to address their defense in part because of misses already made on the defensive side of the ball in the draft. I will say also with their offensive picks, I like Keon Coleman. I think there is potential there. I think there is a potential breakout there. I also don't know based on how they use him. They seem to want to go to that jump ball as like their plan A at times, and it's just simply not. I'm not saying I wasn't a Xavier Worthy guy either. I was an Anai Mitchell guy, and he has boneheaded plays, it seems, every week until they eventually benched him. So I'm not, you know, banging the drum that my draft picks or draft ideas were better. But that also might be the way that it should go in the NFL, is that you go higher-end draft picks on offense when you have that superstar quarterback that will get the most out of them likely. And then on defense, you have your defensive head coach identify the guys in free agency that he wants. It worked really well for the Bills with Palmer and or with Poyer and Hyde. Those guys are free agent acquisitions, and they get the most out of them rather than trying to draft these guys and develop them slowly. Maybe for McDermott, it really is just bringing in ready-made players who can run his defense. That's where we're all getting excited about Michael Hoyt and Bosa coming in. Maybe that is where they do have to go, is to change up their philosophy. And we're going to draft young on offense, and we're going to fill in the holes and fill in the needs with defense. And we're going to get a little bit, not cheaper on offense ultimately, but expensive in a different way.
There is one defense of this, of like what's going on with the Bills and how the roster construction is. In free agency, you're not going to be able to do much anymore. You are kind of hamstrung by a quarterback contract. So your identifications have to be of the bargain bin variety, typically.
Mm-hmm.
But you also still need to properly identify them too. For consecutive years, Mike Edwards, Derek Forrest, they signed safeties that are not on the roster to start their seasons.
Yeah, I mean, complete disappointments.
Completely non-factors to the team. So, have you tried to add some safety depth? Yes. Your attempts have not beat out DeMar Hamlin as the third safety on this team. You bring back Tre'Davious White. You sign Dane Jackson as your veteran additions instead of looking for somebody outside the organization that hasn't played here. I don't know how I felt about that. When it comes to the drafting, though, that's the part. You need to hit on those, and you need to start making your hits. I'm going to slightly disagree with you on, like, like make the first or second round pick. Like, they should be offense things.
Right.
This team doesn't have a defensive superstar.
No,
they do not.
That's their biggest issue, is that on defense, there is no blue chip player. Not even saying Josh Allen player. There's no blue chip player. The guys you've signed to contract extensions like Rousseau and Oliver and Bernard. But Bernard might be the one because he's got an eye for the ball, and it seems like whenever there's a turnover, he's right there. But Rousseau, up until Sunday night, was a ghost.
And even then, that first drive is dominant by him. He smatters in a couple more tackles throughout the evening, but
it wasn't like
really
it was an Ed Oliver performance in week one.
Correct. His name was not all over the box score. It was there every now and then. I just look at this defense, and I'm not gonna tell anyone how they need to act at this point, but I don't need everyone going into the pit of misery after week five. After your first loss. That's the one thing I'm trying to keep people from doing. Like, we have a long year. We have to at least try to stay sane.
No.
But the fact that one loss has already sent everybody into the, they're never winning a Super Bowl with this group. Look, we have to find out the hard way anyway. That's the thing. We all have to find this out the hard way, and we have to find out together. Let's at least try to keep our sanity before we get to that point.
It is something, though, and it's something. I mean, even if they win a Super Bowl this year, I think it's still going to be fair criticism of the talent acquisition over the last few years has been questionable at best. The drafting strategies have been interesting, to say the least. And yeah, you're kind of seeing ceilings being hit way before maybe they should have been. Rousseau comes in as a guy that maybe should have been. I know Nate Geary's talked a lot about this too. Maybe pushed inside more to the D tackle where he was dominant at Miami. They really don't do that all that much. He's kind of a pure edge rusher in Buffalo.
It's because they don't have the players to do that.
Yeah, they don't have the players to do it because, you know, the guy they get in Age Epinesa is having a good year this year, but he's probably going to end up with his seasonal, like, 6-7 sacks. Like, that's kind of where he hangs out. He's probably having a good run now.
His bigger contributions come from pass deflections on pressures.
Mm-hmm.
He does know how to get his hand in the way. There's the play that looked like initially it was a one-hopper on May scrambling out to the left. No, AJ gets his hand on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does have something that he brings to the table. But you have Javon Solomon and Landon Jackson giving me nothing. I can't say less than nothing, but nothing.
But nothing. 803-0550, the number to call. Mark is up next. Mark, how we doing?
Hey, guys. You're talking about the defense. Let's talk about Brandon being on the offense. I mean, Hardy, Sherfield, bringing in Palmer, Moore.
Samuel.
Dropping back to draft your wide receiver in the second round and only having 4 years of control versus 5 years, to me, it just makes no sense. If Keon Coleman is going to be the guy, you're saving yourself $20 or $30 million in that fifth year of what the salaries are going to be for wide receivers, and why you would drop back and get the guy that you could have picked one pick earlier and gotten an extra year. I mean, we talk about Brandon Bean, you know, he's gotten some very good picks, you know, Benford, you know, certain guys in the later rounds. But his free agent acquisitions, can you name one that's been good?
It's been a long time, Mark. I mean, it's been a long time. Thank you for the call.
Shaq Thompson's been pretty good. But that's also me stretching it.
Yeah,
just to answer your question.
No,
I'm not trying to like push back on the call on that one, but like I'm just trying to find an answer for him real quick.
It's been a long time. It might be Shaq Thompson. It might be Bosa. Bosa's been one of the better ones.
It might be Michael Hoyt.
Hoyt, we'll see.
We'll see.
But again, like all those are we'll see. And no, I think it's fair criticism. This is why I don't move off from Sunday night. I think too much criticism is pointed at McDermott and not enough at Bean.
Now, that is true.
I heard yesterday on the Extra Point Show when Sal was on taking some calls, I heard some people complaining the media needs to ask tougher questions. I will never understand that. What do you think is going to change outside of relationships get strained? Like it Bean all of a sudden getting a hard question is not going to have him sitting there around the dinner table with his family going, you know what, guys? I need to change. I think that's right. That's not going to happen. They're also irritated internally. You see it with the Sabres. Adams gets tough questions, and all you really get is just people kind of, either underhanded comments to each other or just outright vitriol towards each other. It doesn't really change much.
Yeah, it doesn't change much.
But, I think Bean does deserve a lot of criticism, especially, and this is not totally, but, he came on the station and was angry and wanted to go back to a pick in 2018 is the reason why, essentially, don't criticize me. Because you did last time, and look what happened. Well, no, I mean, it's pre-COVID, man. Things have changed. The world is a radically different place. The last time you, quote-unquote, hit on a guy since 2019.
Not to mention it's one guy.
Yeah.
It's the guy.
Yes, it's the most important.
It's the guy, but it's one guy.
Since 2019, they've drafted one Pro Bowler, albeit some of their offensive linemen should probably garner some praise, Osiris Torrance and Spencer Brown. And I've mentioned Terrell Bernard is probably one of the more underrated linebackers in football. But up to this point, since 2019, their only Pro Bowler is James Cook. And that's a hit. And it's Pro Bowls, right? It's a popularity contest. But your team's winning 11 to 13 games every year, and you can't convince America that some of these players are worth a Pro Bowl nod?
You mentioned it's a popularity contest. It's also a lower bar to get.
It's an incredible
lower bar to get. Tyler Huntley has a Pro Bowl.
Oh, that's right. He does.
So while I guess that kind of like flies in the face of your argument here, it's also to support it. Because if Tyler Huntley can get a Pro Bowl, why are some Bills players not?
Yeah, and it's just Mark's call was more free agency. Mine is a total talent acquisition that
I'm still going to be harder on the drafts, not free agency, because like I said, you are dealing with budgets at this point. The draft, everybody gets paid what they're selected at. In free agency, you do have to be better, though. Josh Palmer is getting, what, $10 million a year right now, and he's got two catches a game.
Yeah, John Brown, Cole Beasley, free agent acquisitions are a long time ago. And now, now it seems like every year they're adding a receiver that kind of doesn't do anything.
But they also were able to throw money at Brown and Beasley.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were able to throw money at the caliber of those types of players because they did not have to pay Allen yet. That is the harder part of the free agency portion. I will acknowledge that. But Samuel was a healthy scratch to start the year. Palmer is looking like just a guy. So you do have to be better if you're going to spend double-digit millions per season on a player. But you're not going to get the Hydes, the Poyers, the Brown and Beasleys anymore. You're paying Josh Allen. But drafting, that stays the same every year. You are picking in the same range because the Bills do not lose frequently.
No, they're a very consistent team. At times, almost frustratingly.
Almost, and this is in one of those moments. You don't have draft board leverage, but you have to get better at hitting where you are because picking at 30 doesn't stop you from not taking a Max Crosby like the Raiders did in the fourth round.
And the Bills may have hit on guys like Deion Walker and Jackson Hawes. Those look like hits from their draft position.
Well, what I'm saying is they're still not a star player. Trent McDuffie has taken them.
Late first round.
Right before the Bills end up taking Kyrie Elam. So there is something to it of hit from where you are hitting from. You traded up for TJ Sanders. He needs to show you more. Like day one and day two, you have to be better. Day three, he's great. Consistently.
But it's that day one and day two. It's been a struggle for a few years now. And you're now what's nice, though, you're finally seeing guys like Kincaid and Torrance.
They're coming into their own.
Those look like hits. 2023, that might be a hit of a draft with those first two picks.
But if you have drafts where you don't end up with hits or you're consistently missing on second rounders or early picks, it catches up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it catches up to them.
And you're seeing it also, too, with teams like Kansas City, who are struggling talent-wise, although they have the fun pieces like Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, so it doesn't look as painful, but they don't look like the same team from the last few years, in part because they also keep drafting late, and they're not hitting every single pick like
they have been. Tyquan Thornton, though, gets waived by the Patriots, and he's kind of showing up early on with the Chiefs, too. Yeah, they pick
him up. Trade for Rashee Rice, or for Rashid Shaheed. That might be fun. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get some Sabres talk in right at the end here. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. We've got some news from practice. We'll get to you on the other side. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
Oh, yeah.
NHL gets back going tonight.
You want to get... Like I feel this in the haunch. Just leave that up for a sec there, Dan. Come on, baby. Let's get that. If you're not in your car at 5 o'clock today, you'll be able to hear this. Oh, come on, NHL. Why you got to be doing this at 5?
Three games tonight. First one, Florida hosting the Blackhawks at 5, 8 p.m. Rangers host the Penguins. Then at 10:30, Kings hosting the Avalanche. Sabres getting going on Thursday. We do have some practice notes from today. Alexander Georgiev not out at practice. Colton Ellis, who they claimed off of waivers yesterday, appears to have some pretty good AHL numbers. I did see some Blues fans kind of annoyed that they lost him.
Yes.
And the signs from practice pointing to Georgiev's being...
He's probably going to get waived.
Yeah,
he's my speculation.
And they're going to go into the season, for right now, Lyon and maybe Ellis as his backup.
It will be Ellis's backup.
Yeah, like, waiting for UPL to come back. He's week to week. We'll see how long that actually is.
So, honestly, the other weird theory I could have on this is, like, what if Georgiev is injured?
honestly, though, like, that absolutely is still a possibility. But, that absolutely could be true.
You know how I said, like, nothing against Bishop and Rapp, that they're not Hyde and Poyer?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a little bit more unfair on this one. Everything against what I saw from Alexander Georgiev, good that the Sabres brought in Colton Ellis. I was terrified that he would even have to play one game for this team
mm-hmm.
in the regular season. Not only did I leave not impressed, I left fearful of the backup netminder at that point. So
their schedule was nice, that as long as Lyon didn't pick up an injury or play so badly you had to go to a backup, that they wouldn't maybe necessarily have to do so. but it just left you with no good feelings. And weirdly enough, a Sabres preseason that wasn't bad by any means. Yuriev is maybe the worst part of that. Also should be noted, Owen Power back on the ice today, though, in a non-contact jersey. We'll see how fast they can get him back. Again, the Sabres do start their season Thursday at home against the New York Rangers. Three games tonight in the NHL. Mentioned there, Panthers, Blackhawks, Rangers, Penguins, Kings, Avalanche. And then over in baseball, we've got Mariners, Tigers just after 4. And then at 8, maybe the game of the night.
Let's go.
Blue Jays looking for the sweep of the New York Yankees. That game is in New York, though. However, the Jays, as we mentioned with our primetime performers, have been playing incredible in these first two games. That's going to do it for us. You've been listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. For more Sabres talk, coming up next, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.